Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. We have an exciting guest today. We have Christina Kempro, and Christina has an amazing inspirational story to share. She has achieved sobriety, and she's going to discuss her, you know, her journey towards sobriety. And Christina is a podcast host and an author talking about being sobriety. So before we dive deep with Christina, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for activewear leggings, crystals, 100% natural facial masks, soaps, essential oils, aromatherapy diffusers, herbal teas, natural deodorants, and so much more organic self-care goodies at happybeingwell.com. Use code podcast25 for 25% off all active wear leggings and free shipping in the USA. So Christina.
Hello. Thank you. I'll speak to, I love my products from Happy Being Well. I still use my bath. I have like a bath pillow, and I had the best, I think it was like an amethyst bath bomb from y'all. And it's so good. So I am all a fan of all the self-care things.
Yes. Yes. I love, you know, taking a luxurious hot bath with adding the bath salts, and the bath bombs, because it just adds more relaxation to the body. And I think we were talking earlier about, you know, how important it is to be aware of our bodies. So we really can tend to it when we're in a distressed state, a state of anxiety and stress, instead of letting it build up. But course, you know this more than most people. Now you've tackled this in order to stay sober. So, you know, share with us your journey and how did you get to achieve like sobriety? Because maybe some listeners may not, you know, have challenges with staying sober, but, you know, you may have challenges dealing with anxiety and stress by turning to comfort food, you know, or, you know, doing other activities that are self-destructive that we can get addicted to, because we can get addicted to anything, you know?
Thank you. I think, thank you, first of all, for letting me, you know, I'm just so grateful to share this space with you. But so that is so true, because it doesn't have to just be alcohol. I believe we can all get addicted to anything. I think it's, you know, it's not just, I think we think of addiction and we think like drugs and alcohol, but it can be food, it can be sex, it can be our phones, something I'm currently working on, screen time. I'll just take you back to the, you know, how I got sober. I've been sober 2 years. Just actually in February 3rd, it's gone really fast. I don't know how. I feel like pandemic time has slowed down a little bit, but also being sober has made it go faster. It's been interesting, but I started drinking in like, college. It was a little bit strange. I didn't drink in high school. I kind of was raised, my family didn't drink. So I was always like the black sheep that kind of like snuck the alcohol here and there. But my drinking, my problematic drinking took off when I was probably like 25, 26. I met my husband, he's in the military, and that's just like a big drinking culture. And so we, you know, we met drunk, we continued to drink all through our late 20s, but I'm 33 now. And at 31, I found myself staying out later than people. Like I would go to a happy hour and I would stay out, you know, till 2. There was a couple nights I just shared actually recently, like where I didn't come home. Some really like scary moments, you know? And so I realized, I came home one night after being out all night. I came home the next morning and my husband was like, you know, you need help. Like we can't do this anymore. So I decided in January, 2020, obviously not knowing that a global pandemic was going to hit, to go home. So I moved back to Cleveland, Ohio. I live in Virginia right now, but I went home, entered treatment. I did like an intensive outpatient. So it's just like group therapy and talk about trauma and, you know, all that stuff. I was like, you know what, I need to come face to face with some of the things that I've put off for years, you know, that I haven't dealt with, which would be, you know, childhood trauma and as an adult and some really deep issues that I think I had just been avoiding. And, so I did the hard work of getting sober. And I mean, I would say it was a combination of therapy and a lot of walking. Also, like, what else were we going to do during the pandemic? You know, reading and podcasts. And here we are today, 2 years sober.
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way. That is a phenomenal story. And this is like most of us, you know, most of us really have been traumatized. We all have been traumatized in some shape or form on different levels, you know, during childhood, during adolescence, during adulthood. So we can all relate to this. And the thing is, if we don't identify those root traumas, typically from childhood, every time something happens, we are basically holding that stress response comes out, like that same stress response that we initially experienced in childhood is kind of reactivated over and over and over again, and on an unconscious level. And so typically what it happens is, you know, it could react on a higher level to a stressful event that is not needed. So we're just going to be continuously, you know, and basically if you don't address it and you continue to, you know, live that way and overreacting to things that are really like little stressors in life, because let's face it, like, I mean, just now doing this podcast, my computer was running slow. Right. Oh my God, I'm trying to log into the Zoom.
Yeah.
It's like, there's always something in life that is going to present a stressful event, right?
Yeah.
So if we overreact constantly, we're going to burn out. We're going to burn our adrenal system out too. I mean,
yeah.
And it's going to affect our relationships and it's always really good to just be increasing that self-awareness so how did you like identify those traumas from your childhood? Did you already know them and you just like,
that's a great question. I mean, there was definitely like some physical trauma, some physical abuse, you know, as a child. So those like bigger ones were, you know, kind of more apparent, but some of the littler things that I wouldn't say they were worse. They impacted like my self-talk. So like, you know, emotional abuse or just, you know, negligence and things like that. So I really, once I got sober and had like a month sober where my mind started to like clear up, you know, I started to like look at my self-talk and my relationship with myself. And I realized that, wow, like I am so critical of myself. You know, I'm like very mean, like the way I speak on the inside is mean. And I won't, you know, completely blame that on my childhood. I think it's a mixture of like being a recovering perfectionist. And then, you know, also just being raised in like a pretty harsh, you know, strict household. So it really took like just being like self-aware, and then diving into the past. And then I started to do something that really helped me was Kristen Neff's Self-Compassion. She's like a whole workbook. And I started doing it because when you're in active addiction, a lot of times people make mistakes and we hurt people. Like you do things you normally wouldn't do, right? And so I was like, once I started to, I call it unthaw, like when I got sober and like was feeling all the things, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, what have I done? Like, who have I hurt? So it took time, and a lot of reading and like journaling and like sitting with the hard things to be like, okay, here's where I, you know, here's what I've gone through, but like, what can I do with that? And like, how can I use it? I always say like, turn my pain into purpose. You know what I mean? So it was a journey, and I would be lying if I said I am not still working on it.
So How did you release it though? Was it just through giving yourself compassion? How you released those traumas?
Yeah. So it's interesting you say that. I worked with a coach on trauma. So that was really, really interesting and like helpful. We did a lot of like somatic healing. So I did some dancing. I know it sounds, if people aren't into that kind of thing, it may sound a little strange. And I remember like at first being like, this is weird. You know what I mean? Like, what is somatic therapy? Like, what am I doing? But anyway, so we did some like dancing. We did like, she had me write a letter to the people that had abused me, and I burned it in my house. Like, you know, in a safe way, but I took a lighter and just like burned it and, you know, threw the ashes away So it was a lot of work to like release the trauma. And I, like I said, like, I still am not done. Like, I think that there's still trauma to be worked through. I just need to do it in stages as well, because, you know, I just got done working with that coach and it's a lot. So.
Oh yeah. It is definitely a lot of work. Did you identify who you became as a result of those traumas? Did you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I definitely became a, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people respond differently to trauma, obviously. You know, there's like family systems, and I was more so like the person that was like the family peacekeeper. You know what I mean? Like, I was always the one trying to smooth everything out, make sure everyone was happy. So my reaction was to trauma was that to either peacekeep and then really just silence myself. Like, I as a kid learned to not have emotions. I was very like, I'm happy. You know what I mean? Like, all the time. It was just like, I wasn't allowed to have feelings. So I just learned that I was fine. Like, I was always okay. And so that trend stayed with me until even now. And then people pleasing. So, and I'm still working on that, like the not saying sorry all the time and, you know, that kind of thing. But, I would say I would turn into like a people pleaser but now being sober gives you so much perspective, and it's not like I'm completely who I want to be, but I'm like keeping the good sides of the things that I learned. Right. And then kind of like discarding some of the others.
So do you feel like who do you are now? So after like realizing, you know, who you became as a result of, you know, dealing with those traumas, like the stories we tell and, you know, kind of
right.
molds and shapes our behavior and our identity.
Right.
Like, how do you feel like you're more free now emotionally, more emotionally free, or more emotionally like able to think new thoughts and be more.
Yeah. Free? Great question. Well, I mean, I would say, I think the big one that I'm working through right now is it's not caring what people think, but just like learning to honor myself in all situations. You know, I used to like, and I still have a heart. My husband always laughs. He's like, you know, you speak up to me first before anybody else, you know, like I'll give him a piece of my mind, but like nobody else, everybody else. I'm like, oh, no big deal. It's fine. You know, whatever. So I have stopped betraying myself. So it's very much so I check in with myself, or I simply say no to things I don't want to do, you know, and I give myself that grace and that space. So I would say, you know, as a result of the trauma and getting sober, I'm just way kinder to myself, and I make myself a priority. And I also make my sobriety a priority, because if I don't have sobriety, I lose everything. Like, I was on the verge of losing everything. Like, my marriage was about to end, like, because of my addiction. Like, I lost a job. Like, it wasn't good. So to me, if I don't put myself first or check in with myself, I'm at risk of picking up a drink, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't live in fear. I'm like 2 years in, I'm not like walking around terrified I'm going to drink, but I'm also self-aware, like you were talking about. I'm aware enough to know that, like, if I don't put myself as a priority, if I say yes to things that aren't in alignment with myself, I'm at risk to pick up. And so, yeah, I would say now I've just really stopped betraying myself and who I am and what I want.
Awesome. I think that's what most people, it's what we, you know, we betray ourselves, whether that's abandoning our body, you know, whether that's getting caught up with comparison, always comparing yourself to others. And that really is just a waste of energy, because you're wasting your energy looking at what they're doing or time into what they're doing. And it's taking away from, you know, what you can be doing for yourself. Like, I've never understood it. I've always been a type of person where I naturally was always inclined to, I was always like, I don't know, addicted and obsessed with self-improvement since I was a young, I would say, I don't know about elementary school, because I just feel like I'm very like reminisce about elementary school. I just remember just, you know, following instructions. I don't really remember I think we're just forming our personalities. I think that our personalities are not so, but I remember in high school, I was obsessed with self-improvement. I always wanted to have jobs after school, not so much to have a, you know, more money to spend on clothes or, you know, going out with friends or anything like that, but more so like to be better. I wanted to just like, cause I could see, I understood, you know, how having more experiences really would cultivate my mind and, you know, just learning more and just the activity of doing something and being exposed to different industries. I always was, irregardless of what function I was performing at, because in high school, I was like, obviously, you know, oh my God, I had so many jobs after school. And my parents were like, why are you working? Like, we don't
wait
allowance. And I'm like, and I just wanted to work. I remember being, I was a telemarketer. I was a cashier. I was a hostess. I was a retail clerk all throughout high school. And even, you know, throughout university too. I always had like internships and such. So I was always like focused on, you know, how can Rita be better? What can Rita learn? How can Rita grow? Right. And so anyhow, if you really look at, I think what's happened is because of social media, everyone is showcasing their lifestyles. And I think that's what's kind of prompted people to kind of develop this comparison mentality more, which I think the way I look at it is, it's like, I think it's inspirational. Like, you know, if somebody's posting something that they have achieved or what have you, it's like, opens the door and realm of possibilities, like what's possible for you. Like I see it as a, you know, I just see it as a positive thing because there's something called the Bannister effect.
Okay.
We're seeing that in our society. I would say with podcasts, because now we're seeing so many people having podcasts, right?
Right.
So the Bannister effect is something that I think it was like the 40s or something, that the first marathon runner, I think his last name was Bannister. And he was the one that finished the race the quickest. He broke the records.
Yeah.
And so what happens is people started following suit and started hitting his, and then more and more people followed. So that is what typically happens, is like when people start seeing, oh yeah, that's possible. Because no one was able to hit that record prior to Bannister. So I'm seeing that today in terms of podcasts, because there's so many people. Oh my goodness! Like I've never, in today's day and age, everyone's got a podcast, right?
Right.
People are jumping on podcasts, and so now it's created this like Bannister effect.
You know, right.
Where podcasts were a little bit, you know, a covert set of people actually had podcasts, right?
Right.
Years ago. So anyhow, I went a little rant about, you know, how it was so important to focus. So what about you? How do you stay focused on yourself and goals you want to achieve and me?
Yeah. I mean, I will say first and foremost, it is hard, because I feel like, especially now, like there's so many things that can steal our focus. You know what I mean? Like I think a big thing for me this year in 2020 has been intention. So like setting an intention for behind every action or choice that I make. So I would say I like really narrow down my buckets of like my goals and like where I want to be. And it sounds funny, I have it right here, but I have a planner next to me and it's like a daily planner. And that's been a lifesaver, because I write like the goals. I have a big like yearly goal and a monthly goal, you know? And so like, I'm making sure that I'm checking in with those goals, like almost daily. I'm not perfect at it by any means. You know, there's whole days where I don't check in or whatever, but I would say like writing like quarterly goals, like a yearly goal and a quarterly goal, and then like checking in week to week to make sure I get there. It has been huge. And then trying to trim the fat in my life, and just like, whether it was like, have my relationships are intentional. The podcasts I listen to are intentional. My social media is intentional. I will say like, because I love being honest, is like, I think right now where I'm struggling is social media. I spend way too much time on social media, more than I want to. And it makes it hard to focus, because I'm focused on so many other people's lives. So I think, it's just really being like self-aware and then checking in with myself. But social media, I just mentioned it because that's something I like, that's on my, literally I write it on my list of like there's a section on my planner that says room to grow. And I put like less screen time. Because when I'm focusing on other people's work, it's like less time for me to rest or be with my family or that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm like kind of the opposite when it comes to, so like lately, I feel like I'm not, in terms of my personal, I'm not really active a lot on my personal Instagram account, or, you know, I like to be behind the scenes, you know, sure. like,
yeah, I gotcha.
Okay. And, you know, and so, I mean, teach their, you know, but yeah, I probably should be posting more in terms of my personal social media accounts, but
it's a hard balance. It's like, because when you do post more, it's always, there's always more, you know what I mean? Like, it's just never enough. Like you do your business and you have your personal brand. And so it's like, it's always, there's just always more to do. So it's like, I think staying focused in 2022 is a very difficult thing to do. You know, and I think a lot of it for me is just, yeah, like I said, it's just like that intentional, like constantly asking myself, like, why am I doing this? Why am I, you know what I mean? Like, what is this in a line? I actually did something that might be helpful for your listeners is Brené Brown did, I think it was the beginning, maybe a month ago, but she did a values based episode, and there's like a download, it's something you can download, and it has like, I think like 100 different values, and it has you like list your top two values, and then it asks you questions based on those values. And so my two values are, I think it was like being kind, like I always want to be kind above everything, and then connection, so like people, like community. So if whatever I'm doing in my day, or, you know, throughout the week is not in line or supporting those values, then I try to question, like, what am I doing? Obviously, like, I don't like being an all or nothing person. There's, you know, gray area, but for the most part, especially professionally, like if it's not kind or leading me towards building community or getting more connected, then, that's been such a helpful way to stay focused.
That is an excellent point, actually. And values are so important.
Yeah.
Like truly, because if you're running a business or you're in a career or whatever it is you're doing, if it's not aligned with your values, you're not going to really enjoy it. At some point, you'll just like reach burnout, or it drains you. It's because it's not filling you up. It's not filling you with energy because you're not able to commit actions that are aligned with your values. So exactly. It's such an important point to address, and identifying our value. And some people don't do the value exercises, and they're not really aware of their values and how it's not presenting, or it's not showing up in their day-to-day lives. That's such an important exercise to do. It really truly is a driver of our behavior, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the main drivers of our behavior. And also too, like, once you understand how these exercises really drive your behavior, you're going to become obsessed like me and Christine are, because prior to the podcast, me and her had a talk, and we're just like constantly talking about, you know, personal development techniques and activities. And we're just fired up because once you understand it, it really, truly influences literally your behavior and actions and how you feel, and how in turn, it literally equates to the quality of life that you live in terms of, you know, living more in peace and having that more inner peace, is through, you know, doing these exercises regularly that me and Christina are talking about.
Yep.
Because if you constantly distract yourself with Netflix or constantly going out with friends, or, you know, just social, you know, people in North American society are so caught up in this busy, busy lifestyle, right? And it's just a way to distract yourself from yourself. And, you know, you have to, all of these activities that were in personal development to increase your self-awareness requires you to be alone.
Yeah, right. And it's hard. I was actually just talking to a girlfriend of mine about that. It's just like something I want to work on too, is like, it is, I rarely have time where like my brain is not like occupied. So it's like when I'm, you know, brushing my teeth or putting on my makeup or driving, I'm listening to a podcast or an audiobook, or, you know, if I drink my coffee in the morning, I'm on my phone. So I've really been trying to be more intentional about like leaving space and like gaps in between in my day where like my thoughts are just my thoughts. You know what I mean? Cause it's so easy to distract yourself with a million different things, you know, like even when I cook, I'm like, you know, listening to something or watching a YouTube video or whatever it is, you know? And so I've been trying to like leave like space, you know, quiet. And I'm like, what a concept. Cause I'm like, you know, like it's sometimes it can be hard to sit with yourself and your own thoughts.
Yeah. I think most people feel that way. And I think that was one of the, that's why the lockdowns were so hard on most people.
Right.
They're not used to being alone. They're so used to being distracted. And so it's an uncomfortable feeling for most people. You know, I'm an introvert. So by nature, I like love being alone. Like, well, it charges me up. So, you know, it allows me, I like to connect with myself. I mean, I always try to connect myself more and more and make it, you know, because it's really easy to, even though I'm aware of these things, it's really easy to abandon myself through getting caught up in work, right?
Right.
Getting caught up in, yeah, I would say work for me, and not checking in.
Right.
Myself, right. And right. So, you know, and because, you know, I would say this whole process of self-awareness and getting to know ourselves better, connect, it's like we're kind of in a way sort of like a Sherlock Holmes on a daily basis, because, you know, it's, think about all the years that we've been programmed through, you know, the parental family institution, the educational institution, our peers, you know, media, you know, and so that, and we're just kind of going through life without thinking a thought about, you know, what it is we're doing. And, you know, we're just kind of going with the certain steps, you know, go to school, get a good job, get married, but now, you know, if you want to get more conscious, it's almost like you have to reinvest that time to kind of go through and deprogram and reprogram yourself, so that you can achieve emotional freedom from those past traumas, whether they be little traumas, medium traumas, big traumas, in order to stop getting activated, right, by those certain situations or people that remind you of the initial trauma. And so you can take more control of your life in terms of living more in your inner truth,
right? Yeah.
So what has been, like, what's the truth now revealed for you? What's your inner truth that you've revealed?
Yeah. I mean, it just bears repeating. I think for like in this moment right now, it would be just like my inner truth would be not betraying myself, like checking in with myself. Like I said, you know, I'm a recovering perfectionist and people pleaser. So that means I spent, you know, 33. So I spent a long time, you know, like being friends with people that I didn't want to, going to events I didn't want to, saying yes when I didn't want to, feeling guilty about taking time for myself, like all the things. And I would say my truth as of like right this date, you know, today would be like, yes, like not betraying myself, being there for myself, you know. And it sounds weird. It's even coming out of my mouth, it sounds weird, but putting myself first. I mean, obviously like my husband is a priority, like the people closest to me, but like yeah, learning to like love myself, like without abandon, and, you know, being there for myself and showing up for myself, because ultimately, you know, I'm the one that's always going to be there for myself. You know, like other people, they will, they love me, my family loves me, but I'm my biggest advocate, my biggest cheerleader. So it's, I'm doing a lot of like learning to like learning to love myself. And it's a very weird, it feels weird at times. It feels awkward because it's so easy for me to go to like the negative self-talk and the, I should do this better. This could be better. I could work harder on this, you know? But part of not betraying myself is that like radical self-acceptance and love. So.
Awesome. I love it. If people want to read more or learn more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So Instagram's probably the easiest and my handle is just ccambro1 or my website, christinacambro.com.
Awesome. And what is your podcast called?
Yeah, it's called Girl Heal. And honestly, it's similar to like kind of what you're talking about. I have a co-host and we talk about like personal development, you know, healing. Both of us have been through a lot of childhood trauma, adult trauma. And so we bring on guests and talk about what it looks like to heal our lives. You know, like what things are we currently working on? Cause we all got them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And also you're an author. So what books?
Yeah. Well, so I haven't written a book yet, but that's on my to-do list. But I write for blogs right now. So I've been writing for like an app, and then I just do like freelance writing. So.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. So if you want to connect with Christina, she has an amazing inspirational Instagram page where she showcases her almost day-to-day life and inspiration on how, you know, staying sober and, you know, kind of documenting her sobriety journey on her Instagram page. So follow her on Instagram and check out her podcast on Apple iTunes. Is it Girl Heal? Is it?
Yeah, Girl Heal. Yep.
Okay. Girl. I like that. Girl Heal.
Yeah, it's kind of like, because I felt like that. I'm like, all right, girl, we're healing. Like that's kind of how the name came. It was just like, girl, we got some healing to do. Like let's do this.
Yeah. Great name. I love the name.
Yeah.
So, and also it'll be clickable links on the podcast episode to click over to Christina's website and you can find her Instagram through the website. I'm sure she has a link there.
Yes.
So, all right, Christina, thanks you so much for being a guest on the show.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, sending lots of love, light, and blessings, guys.